when we were doing missions, Andrew said he was in the, out of his comfort zone leading missions. Well, I think we're out of our comfort zone doing one or two things with the computer this morning. Are we able to play that song, Richard? It's on the Kingston... No way, never move on. I was going to play a little bit of a modern version of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. But it doesn't matter. Because what I wanted to say was this, is that the song actually puts an extra like refrain in it, and it says, oh, the wonderful cross. The wonderful cross. And sometimes we have to wonder and stop and think, you know, hang on a minute, this is where they executed somebody. You know, we don't talk about the marvellous gallows or the exciting guillotine or anything like that. You know. I've got a new guillotine and put all the printing on it, it's working really well. But no, we want to look at the wonderful cross this morning. When I surveyed the wondrous cross, Charles Wesley said that he would surrender every other thing he'd ever written just to have written that one. And he wasn't talking out of pride, he was talking out of just absolute admiration for the words of the song. And it was Isaac Watson. And it's just a fundamental truth that's there in everything that we do. But we're going to come and spend a little longer around the communion table this morning. And I want to look at a number of points about communion. We've already looked at the commandments. Can we go back, Richard?
Yeah.
That'll do. But the five C's of communion. So we're up to number four now. The first one we looked at was corporate. We talked about everybody coming together to take communion. It's a corporate thing. It's not something that we normally do on our own. We do it as a corporate thing. The second one is commemorative. And that is that we do it because communion is a time of remembrance. We're remembering what Jesus did for us. And I might mention that again in a little minute. And the third point is that of covenant. But, and Pat said to me this morning, one of the guys that we quite admire as a teacher is a man called Perry Stone. And he talks about the new covenant. And he said, but really, when you look at the Greek, it really means a renewed covenant. In other words, it's the old covenant, almost like it's brought up today, it's renewed and made appropriate for the time after Jesus' resurrection. But the covenant reminds us of God's promises. And now we come to the fourth point, and I will look at the fifth one when I come back from England. I want to look at celebrate. And we go back to this thought of, we talked about the wonderful cross, the wondrous cross, the celebrate. We're actually talking about death. And yet, we're looking at the concept. It really seems strange. It's just incongruous. It means out of place that we should celebrate when we're talking about someone dying. If we look at this word from the whole concept of Holy Communion, the next slide, Richard, I think, says, it talks about this word Eucharist. If you were, you know, in some Anglican churches, they don't have Holy Communion, they have the Eucharist. But this word Eucharist comes from this Greek word, Eucharista. And it means gratefulness and thanksgiving. And I think this is what Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to be grateful, to be thankful, to celebrate what he's done on our behalf. We're being asked to celebrate with joy and to give praise. Some commentators have remarked on the very somber and mournful way that some churches approach communion. You know, when we actually come to this idea of communion, right, it's pushed tones, we must be dull, we must be serious, because we're looking at Jesus dying. And in a way they're right, it is a very serious time. Jesus died that you and I might live. But communion reminds us so much more. It reminds us in a way, it reminds us to confess our sins. It reminds us to remember the things that we did wrong during the past week. And to confess them before God. There's only pictures in the Old Testament of entering into the tabernacle. The first thing they did, they came to the door of praise, the courts of praise. But then they came to the altar, and that was where they sacrificed for their sins. And we need to do that as we come to the house of the Lord this morning. We'll say, Lord, that thing I did the other day, you know, that driver I shouted at, that wrong thought I had, forgive me, Lord. We come then to this moment where we can look back and now we can be grateful. Communion is a meal of celebration. And its roots are firmly established in Passover. The Lord called his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And it was done and celebrated by this word, Passover. The Jews celebrate Passover for a whole week every year. And the main feature of Passover is a celebration meal, called the Passover meal. And it's eaten on the 14th of Nisan, or the 15th if you don't actually live in Israel. And during the Passover meal, 4 cups of wine were drunk. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Back a little, thank you. 4 cups of wine, the first one, Kiddush. And it's actually a weekly event. Every Sunday, every Sabbath, the Jews would drink the cup of Kiddush. They would recite the Kiddush, it's a prayer to remember to keep the Sabbath. Now we know, of course, that the Jews were very legalistic in a lot of ways. And one of the things that are, there are actually 39 forgiven, forbidden activities. Things they couldn't do on the Sabbath. And it, the Pharisees, of course, took it to stupid lengths. If you were sat at the table, having eaten your meal, you couldn't push your chair back. The reason was that the floors were made of soil and dirt, and as you pushed your chair back, you made a furrow in the ground. And the Pharisees said that was ploughing. And you couldn't plough on a Sunday, so you couldn't push your chair back on a Sunday. And that was the stillness that it went to. There were also some very good points. The second cup, during the meal, is called Maggid. And the preacher or the prophet brought answers to questions. People would ask questions, and if they didn't know the answer, then they would read a psalm. One of the questions was asked, often they would ask a young child to come to the Passover meal. And the child would say, why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? And then the Maggid would say, we're doing this because 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, the Lord told us to sacrifice a lamb and to take the blood and paint it on the doorpost and the lintel. That was so that when the angel of death came over Egypt, he would pass over our house. Where the name comes from, the angel of death would pass over the house. So none of the Jews, none of the firstborn of the Jews was killed, but of the Egyptians there were. The third cup is of Birkat, and I'm not very good. Actually, there shouldn't be a U there, that's my typing. It's Birkat Hamazon, which makes it a lot clearer. But Birkat Hamazon is always drunk after any meal that involves bread. So when they had bread, bread was always followed by the cup of wine called Birkat Hamazon. And the fourth cup is called Hallel. And the Hallel, they would read specifically Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, and then Psalm 136. And I think we've got a clip of Psalm 126. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And if you read the whole Psalm, every line finishes with, his love endures forever. And at the end of the Passover, if you imagine now going into the upper room 2,000 years ago, at the end of the Passover meal, Jesus took the bread, and he said, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And in Paul's words, this is what he said. Paul said, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, as a church, we're very partial to having celebration meals, aren't we? Sorry about the photograph, Richard. But as a church, if something special happens, when like George will hear, okay, first thing somebody will say is, well, where are we going for lunch? We're having a meeting. Where are we meeting for breakfast? And so we enjoy the fellowship of meals. And at the end of the meal that Jesus took, the end of the meal was the bread and the wine. And it was a happy occasion They're there to celebrate a visit, to celebrate an event. And in the same way Jesus took the 12 to celebrate what was to be his last meal, in a way it would be again a mortal meal, but he wanted to celebrate his last meal. And he took bread and the wine. And you can imagine it being a meal of mixed emotions, can't you? There's a sorrow, yes, I'm not going to enjoy this, but I'm going to enjoy what comes after it. There is going to be something in it to celebrate. And mixed emotions. Through the Lord's Supper has become to us not one of cannibalism, as some people suggest. You know, we don't believe that the bread actually turns into the flesh of Jesus. It's called by some denominations transubstantiation, but we don't need to go down that route today. We believe that they are symbols of Jesus' body, symbols of Jesus' blood, and they're reminders of what Jesus did for us. The spiritual reminder of the sorrow and the joy, and it is a call to celebrate. We tried to sing earlier on a song that we used to sing many years ago, come on and celebrate, this gift of love, we celebrate. Come on and celebrate, celebrate and sing. Because we sing because we're happy. Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, and we've been delivered from the penalty of sin and death. And now, by the blood of Jesus, not the blood of a lamb daubed on a doorpost, but the blood of our paschal lamb. And we're brought to salvation. And we, this is the great thing, this is the thing to celebrate. Because of the blood of Jesus, because we've accepted his redeeming power over our lives, we are brought into salvation, and we will be presented before the King of Glory as righteous. Now, I noticed a glimmer of excitement on someone's face. I want to embarrass it. Look, listen to it. By the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, and you receiving his word, you have been redeemed, and you are deemed righteous and holy, and represented as such before the King of Kings. Come on and celebrate! One of the hymn writer wrote, I will sing the wondrous story of Christ who died for me. And again, Isaac Watts said, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride.